Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, yes, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, 2 days away from Conference Championship Sunday in the National Football League. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules that enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson is going to stop by. The four-time Pro Bowler was a first-team All-Pro member in 2011, so we will talk with Derek Johnson, who played for the Chiefs from 2005 to 2017, and his final year in the National Football League was 2018 with the Raiders. So Derek's going to join us in 20 minutes from now, and then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, we'll stay with the Chiefs and the Bills. We'll give you the Bills' perspective of it from a man that's going to be playing in this game on Sunday. Special team stud Tyler Matakevich of the Buffalo Bills will swing by. And at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, in his weekly spot, we will have Gus Frerotte join us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Real quickly, little early returns on the poll question today at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Super Bowl 55 will feature the fill-in-the-blank. Chiefs-Packers, Chiefs-Bucks, Bills-Packers, Bills-Buccaneers. Right now, here are the early returns. 8.7% say Chiefs-Buccaneers. That would give you Mahomes-Brady. 10.9% say it would be Bills and Buccaneers. So a little Josh Allen-Tom Brady. 22.8% say it will be Josh Allen going up against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, Bills-Packers. And then running away here at 58% and then some, as the numbers just refreshed on me a little bit, but it's about 58% and then some, Chiefs and Packers. And currently, as I sit here on a Football Friday, I agree with the majority. I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Bills, and I also think the Packers are going to beat the Buccaneers. And you know it, and I know it. Whenever we think we have this all figured out, conference championship weekend, we know the two winners of the game, one of those teams will go down. I just like the way that it works. And yeah, I still think that both home teams are going to win. However, usually when people have that thought, and I haven't heard many people take the Bucs this week, if any at all, like we talked about in the last segment, I haven't heard anyone. For the Bills, I've heard some people. But I look back at that. The reason why I take the Packers, the Bills don't have a run game. And yes, that Bills defense is good. It's not great. Can they keep up with Mahomes? Yes, they can. I don't think they're going to be able to contain Mahomes enough in this game. So as much as I like Josh Allen, as much as I like McDermott and Bean and what they've built in Buffalo, I got to trust Patrick Mahomes. And on the other side, I do believe this is another, I think both games are back and forth games. I'm going to trust Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to trust that Packers offense. With the Bucs offense, it's a good offense. And I think Brady will play well, but they did not play great last week up against the Saints, and they won that game because of the defense. Now, Brady did his job. He managed the game. Brady did his job. And Brady, when he needed to make a big throw, he made that throw. You know, he got those first down conversions. But last week, when you look back at it, and this is even coming from the biggest Tom Brady fan that there is, the main reason why they won that game, well, they took the ball away from Drew Brees three times, and they also punched out the football with Jared Cook. So, for the Bucs, I think this week you will see, I could see them getting three passing touchdowns of Brady, but can they get other touchdowns as well? You know, can they put up a rushing score to get five touchdowns, or maybe just give you four total and go on some long drives, and maybe their best defense, as good as that defense was last week with Devin White and Levante David and Adamakin Sue, Antoine Winfield Jr., all the players that contributed to the W, Carlton Davis, as good as it was, maybe their best defense this week will be their offense. And you got to imagine, with the Bucs not looking great against Washington, that game, they knew they were going to win. Taylor Heinicke wasn't winning that game. Then last week, being a good W, but it was not a clean product. You don't need to be a clean product this time of the year. I would be stunned. I'll put it this way. I'd be stunned if either of these games are blowouts. But still, even with that being said, look at the votes right now. There's great conviction that people believe the Chiefs are going to beat the Bills and the Packers are going to beat the Bucks. I see both of these games being within a touchdown. And if it gets past the touchdown, maybe it's a late field goal that ices the W for the team that, you know, maybe for Green Bay or maybe for the Buffalo Bills as well. Or for the Kansas City Chiefs as well, I should say. So anyway, I look at the storylines this weekend, just to get back before we get to Derek Johnson coming up in about 15 minutes on the show. And I'm trying to think about pressure. And I'm going through pressure, and I'm looking at the four teams that remain. For Kansas City, is there pressure? Andy Reid finally got his ring last year, coming off a brilliant play call last week with the game on the line, fourth and one, Chad Henne in at the game at quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, yes, I know he's trying to go back-to-back rings and how tough that's been to do in this league, but really there's no pressure. Even though the Chiefs are expected to win this game and get back to the Super Bowl, what I mean by pressure, if they lose, is there going to be a reaction where people are slamming the Chiefs? Like, is there a way that from an individual play call, people could be slamming and hammering the Chiefs? Sure. If the Chiefs lose this game, though, long-term future, you still think they're going to be a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with for years and years to come. For Buffalo, they're in the AFC title game. It's been a long time since they've been here. 1993. They just won their first division championship since 1995. The Bills going into this year, I think we viewed Buffalo as a team that was going to win the division. Once again, the question was it going to be a dominant division title? Were they going to do so running away? Or was it going to be back your way in, not be that strong, be one of the top four teams in the AFC, but not really be viewed as a team that has a shot to win a Super Bowl? And early on in the season, Buffalo looked like they were going to be a AFC East champion. Then they lost that stretch up against Tennessee and the Chiefs. And after they lost those two games to Tennessee and the Chiefs, the take was Buffalo, they'll probably win this division, but they're not amongst the NFL elite. Since that Chiefs loss, they lost one game, and it was on that Hail Mary play. So they are amongst this year, in the year of 2020 now leading into 2021, they're amongst the NFL elite. If Buffalo loses this game on Sunday, are people going to look back and say what a failure this season was for Buffalo? No. Because the fact that they are here, it's surprising. Because for Buffalo, what was the goal going into this year? Win the AFC East and win a playoff game. I know the players are going to tell you it's win a Super Bowl. We believe in this team. Yeah, players are always going to say that. If you're looking at this objectively, though, if I told you as a Bills fan, if someone's a Bills fan, I said before the year, you win the division, you win a playoff game, you would have said, where do I sign? So there's not a lot of pressure on the Bills. There's not a lot of pressure on the Chiefs. And on the NFC side, I can't say that this, I know Brady's held to the standard of Super Bowl or bust, but this Buccaneers season is already successful. They won 11 games, got to the postseason, and last week, I said, if they want this season to be considered a success, you got to find a way to take one from the Saints. And they did that. Third time was a charm. If you lose, you don't know if you're going to be back. Brady's going to be 44 next year. You're in this spot. You need two more W's. You better take advantage. However, if the Bucs lose, am I going to sit here on Monday, next Monday, in a few days, in 3 days, and go, oh, yeah, this season was a failure for the Buccaneers? No, I'm not going to. So I get to the Packers, and I look at Green Bay. The most pressure is clearly on Aaron Rodgers. Sure, Aaron Rodgers has already cemented his place in the annals of NFL history. All right? We know he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. We know he is a first ballot Hall of Famer whenever he elects to retire. With Aaron Rodgers, though, he's been on that quest for that second ring. And we even said it to Jordy Nelson earlier this week, back in 2011 when you won that Super Bowl. If I would have told you walking off that field that day, oh, Rodgers never have another ring, let alone never be back to another Super Bowl, you would have never believed it. And if you look at Rodgers in this game, NFC title game, they beat the Bears, got to that Super Bowl on the road, won. Took down the Steelers 2 weeks later. After that, they were in Seattle, should have beat the Seahawks, had the epic choke, special teams, all that. They lose, they don't get to the Super Bowl. They've been in two other NFC title games since then. And at least they showed up in the Seattle game. Heck, they had a nice lead. They should have won the game. But in the last two NFC title games that they've been in, they got blown out by the Falcons. Wasn't even a game. Wasn't even a contest. Wasn't even a competition in Atlanta. And last year, they went to San Francisco. I felt as if the 49ers were going to win that game. I did not expect that game to just be a blowout, and it was a rout where they got destroyed inside their trenches. And Raheem Mostert, I think he's still running for 800 yards, clearly exaggerating, and like 9 scores. It was ridiculous what Raheem Mostert did in that game. So now the Packers have the expectation to win, and they're at home. And sure, this is not your traditional home year, but you are playing in frigid Lambeau Field. You will have some fans in that building. And for the Packers going into this year, I don't think many people considered them a Super Bowl contender. I don't think people did. My expectations for the Packers going into the season was they'll probably go 11 wins. Even with all the turmoil in the offseason and it being a tumultuous offseason, they'll get 11, 12 wins. They should win this division. They should be better than Minnesota. That's been the team that has been back and forth to them in that division the last few years. You know, Bears factor in some of those years too. But the Bears, I didn't trust their offense. And I know that the Vikings had a lot of changes, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And they also lost Stephon Diggs, and it worked out well for them with them getting Justin Jefferson. But you couldn't trust Kirk Cousins. And if you give me Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, I trust a team led by Aaron Rodgers, even though the Packers in this offseason didn't get him a legit number two wide receiver. And in essence, at the time, drafted what many people thought was going to be his replacement. So you went into this year, and the expectations for the Packers were they'll win the division. After that, though, I don't know what to expect. And San Francisco fell back. They got hurt. The Seahawks, we thought, were going to be a dominant team. And then they did a complete 180 where the offense started to struggle and the defense started to play well, where in early in the year, the defense stunk and the offense was dynamite. You look at that NFC East, no one was going to be a Super Bowl contender. That was clear probably before the start of the season. I thought the Cowboys were going to win the division. I didn't think the Cowboys were a legit Super Bowl contender. 4 or 5 weeks in, we knew no one had a shot, if not sooner, that anyone in the NFC East was going to win that division. You look in the North, the Packers were the only team that were going to have a shot. In the South, the Saints were a team that was looked at the most well-rounded team in football. Then Thomas has been hurt the entire year, Michael Thomas. Drew Brees has 7,000 injuries. You find out that there are even 11 ribs to fracture, and he has a collapsed lung, and now two other injuries you find out from his wife this week. And going into the playoffs, did anyone expect the Saints to win the Super Bowl? No. Because of the injuries to Drew Brees and the uncertainty with Michael Thomas. And look at Michael Thomas. One touchdown against the Bears, and then last week had 0 catches. For the Bucs, they were thought of as a Super Bowl team before the year. We were wondering how they would gel, really no offseason. And they had that nice win up against the Packers. They didn't have another great win after that going up against a quality opponent until they beat the Saints last week. Rams, you didn't trust Goff even though you liked their defense. So probably about week 9, week 10, it started to become clear that the Packers had not only a good shot to get to the Super Bowl, but they were going to be the favorite. And whenever that game was in December against Tennessee, that was a big test. Because last year and in recent years, the Packers' run defense has been abysmal. And there have been times statistically where they've been really good up against the run, but you're still skeptical if that run defense can show up. And when they bottled up Derrick Henry, I know it's snow, but when they bottled up Derrick Henry, that's when I think a lot of people said, okay, with the way Rodgers is playing, with every team having a flaw in the NFC, yeah, this team's going to be the favorite, and they're probably going to get the number one seed. So for Green Bay now, you could lose in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, and sure, there's going to be disappointment. People may say it's a failure because you never know when you're going to get back. But for this weekend, the most pressure's on the Packers because they haven't been to a Super Bowl since Rodgers won his first. And when you have a player of the caliber of Aaron Rodgers, yes, a lot of teams would take just one Super Bowl, but you're expected to win more than one Super Bowl. And also you counter into the whole thing and you put into effect that the last two times you've been in this game, your entire team has not shown up. So the most pressure this weekend, and I think they're going to answer the call. I'm not telling you it's a lock. I think they're going to win the game probably like 31-27 is what I would tell you right now. But if the Packers lose this game, that's probably the biggest talking point on Monday. How Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are in this game once again, and they didn't get the job done. And will they get back to this game ever again? Take a timeout. When we come on back, we've been talking about the NFC side. We get back to the AFC side. We talk to a former Chiefs linebacker, multiple-time Pro Bowler, Derek Johnson, joins us next. You don't want to miss it. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
On Sunday, three straight years that the Kansas City Chiefs will be hosting a home AFC title game at Arrowhead. We'll head out to the guest line right now and talk to a legendary Kansas City Chiefs player. Played with the organization from 2005 to 2017. Went to 4 Pro Bowls and in 2011 was a first-team All-Pro. Always good to catch up with Derek Johnson, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Derek, how you and the family been? Thanks for doing this.
Pretty good. Thank you for asking, man.
No problem. Appreciate you coming on. So you were there in Kansas City where Andy Reid came over from Philadelphia. We already knew that Andy Reid was a very accomplished coach and he was looking to get that Super Bowl ring, which he eventually got last year. As a player, what do you remember about that transition when Andy Reid joined the Kansas City Chiefs as the head coach?
Well, we were blessed to get him. I don't know what the Eagles were thinking at the time. I know he had a couple down years, but Andy Reid is a proven winner. And just the confidence that he brought to the whole organization the first time he stepped foot as the head coach in Kansas City in 2013. I mean, we went like 9-0 or something crazy like that. It was just he's a player's coach, and everybody loves, you know, roots for Andy because he does it the right way, and he's all about the little things, getting the little things right. If you can do that, big things will come to you, and he's doing big things right now. The only problem with, you know, the introduction that you said, you know, that the last 3 years they've been I don't know if it's happened before, but the last 3 years the AFC championship has been in Kansas City, and I've been retired for almost three years, so it's kind of like, golly, I missed the boat.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that because you were there for so many years and you knew the pressure. The organization didn't win a Super Bowl since Super Bowl IV, and then also Andy comes in, and he's known for getting to the conference championship game, broke through 1 year, got to a Super Bowl, but never got the job done in the big game. When you saw them win last year, clearly you wanted to be a part of it, but from afar, what did that win mean to you, knowing everything about the organization?
Well, first of all, I've spent 13 great years in Kansas City, and that city is just amazing. It's a second home for me. And you talk about Chiefs ball in Kansas City, that's homegrown, and that's just a part of that city. the Chiefs are deep in the community, and that city deserves that great organization, great ownership, but that city deserves a championship in that, you know, we haven't had it in a long time, I think since 69 or 70, but I tell you what, that whole city is lit up, and Patrick Mahomes is and Andy Reid are a big, big part of that.
Did you ever think about coming back? Were you ever close? I know you went to the Raiders for a year. Was it tough to walk away knowing what was brewing in Kansas City?
You know what? Not really. I mean, we made it to the playoffs every year with Andy, but just, you know, we didn't have enough to make it all the way. And I know being in the league for 14 years, a lot of things have to go right for you, regardless if you have really good players or not. A lot of things have to go right for you to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. And I just, you know, I came up short a few times at that. But I tell you what, man, I can't do it like I used to. But I tell you what, if the Chiefs were to call me and say, hey, we have a third down package for you, I'll be like, all right, suit me up.
Love it. Derek Johnson, who still can play, joining us right now on CBS Sports Radio. So you guys had Alex Smith, and Alex Smith is a good quarterback in this league. And the Chiefs make that draft night trade actually with the Bills, and they draft Patrick Mahomes. And no one at the time knew what Mahomes was going to be and turn into this transcendent player. How do you remember that draft night when you got the news that Mahomes, not only did the Chiefs get him, but they traded up to get him?
Well, I mean, I knew I don't watch college ball like that, but I did. I was very fond of quarterbacks coming out, and I thought we had a chance to get Deshaun Watson. So I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, they took Mahomes over Watson. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe they did a lot of homework, which they did. And I tell you what, both quarterbacks are great, obviously.
Sure.
But it's one of those quarterbacks is worth $500 million. So I tell you what, they did their homework, and he was my scout team quarterback my last year. In Kansas City, and I tell you what, I've never been fussed at for a scout team quarterback making so many plays on the starting defense. It was crazy. I knew he was going to be a star then. I just didn't know that it was going to come to an MVP year the next year. So,
was it surprising though, because you guys had Alex, that the organization traded so much to get Mahomes?
Well, Alex is a great professional. He's a great pro. And I tell you what, if you ask Mahomes, it was so so exciting for him to be under a guy like Alex, a guy that's very humble and very team-oriented guy, to push the team first, and he helped out Mahomes big time. I mean, there are two different quarterbacks, obviously. One is a little more game-managing, safer, and one is is just a gunslinger. But I tell you what, he's learned, and you can ask Mahomes this, he's learned a lot from Alex Smith his first year there. And it's probably a good thing that he would have been great anyway, but it's probably a good thing he didn't start his first year. It would have been a lot more interceptions early, I think, and he would have eventually caught on. But it was perfect timing for him, because he stepped in after Alex was gone and just lit it up.
So he made you look silly a few times that he was the practice quarterback, right?
Of course. You know, everybody's talking about this no-look pass. I actually thought he was playing in practice one time, and I'm like, and I'm kind of getting frustrated with him. I'm like, dude, stop trying to, you know, no quarterback's going to do that. You can't look over here and throw over here. And, you know, and I thought he was just playing, but this is what he does. He's been practicing it all alone, and little did I know I was talking to a $500 million guy.
You may hit him up for a few mil in a few weeks, right?
Right.
Derek Johnson here with us. Let me ask you about Eric Bieniemy. So Bieniemy has been with the Chiefs since 2013, running back coach, now the offensive coordinator. So not your side of the ball, but you guys clearly had interactions being in that same locker room for so many years. What type of coach, what type of person through your encounters with Eric Bieniemy, can you give us a little insight on that?
Well, first of all, he's a old school football coach. He's not an old guy, but his mentality is, I mean, very cutthroat and hard, you know, grinding type of mentality. He's a, you know, I've always went against his running back. So when it comes to training camp, when we go one-on-ones against the running backs and the linebackers, I mean, I tell you what, he has them. You talk about the Jamal Charles that made a track guy like him, a track guy like Jamal Charles, a speedy guy, made him so fierce on Sundays when it comes to running between the tackles. You talk about a great mind, a great offensive mind. I mean, just a great character guy. I mean, all the things that you want in a head football coach or any kind of coach, Eric Bieniemy is an example of that.
Does it upset you? Does it surprise you? Are you annoyed by it that it looks like there's another hiring cycle? And unless if he gets the Texans job, which it doesn't seem that's going to be the case, who knows, that this guy once again is not going to be an NFL head coach?
You know what? I'm very surprised. Very surprised. I mean, you look under Andy Reid's tree, it's a pretty good line of coaches that have had a lot of success and have gotten opportunities like a head coaching job. And Eric Bieniemy, he wants to be a head coach. I mean, he's put that out there. Of course, he wants the right job. He just don't want any kind of job. And I'm sure someone will pick him up. It's just, I mean, you see what the Chiefs done the last few years. If you think it's Andy Reid, then you're not doing your homework.
Do you think race factors into this? Is there a problem with the hiring process in the NFL?
You know what? You want to say no, but we all know that there is a race factor in it because a lot of head coaches aren't. Black head coaches aren't getting hired or aren't getting that opportunity to make a team better, which they have the credentials to do it. They have the resume to do it, and Eric Bieniemy is a great example of a black coach who's in dire need. I tell you that people need him to be a head coach because he can change young people's lives. He can change an organization, and I hope to God that he'll get picked up this year. I think he will. I really do.
So you think he's going to get the Texans job?
I hope so. Is that the last job open?
Yeah, it's the last job available. Which that seems like a real messy situation right now. I would personally wait.
You know what? I was just about to say that. Right now, it just doesn't look good for Texans, right? Especially with the quarterback situation. But maybe if they get EB, Coach EB, maybe can save Deshaun Watson, and maybe he can come back home to Houston. But we'll see. Hopefully, everything will work out the way it's supposed to at the end of the day. But I tell you what, wherever Eric Bieniemy goes, even if it's this year with the Texans or in the next year or two, everybody's going to be like, man, we got a gem.
Wrap it up with Derek Johnson. So let's get to the game this weekend. I know you're going Chiefs, I would imagine. I'm just going to assume on that one. I think you're rolling with your guys. But what do you think this game comes down to between the Chiefs and the Bills?
Well, stopping the run, even though the Bills are on a crazy running team, you want to stop the run first. You're always going to the game stopping the run, and that includes Josh Allen running the ball. I mean, he runs the ball a lot. I just started watching Buffalo, and I'm like, I was kind of surprised. Like, man, they're really putting him in harm's way, a big guy like that, because he can't really get out of taking so many hits. But they run Josh Allen a lot, and he's a fiery guy. I tell you what, he makes some ridiculous plays. He's kind of Mahomes-like, obviously not Mahomes, but with what he does with the ball, getting Diggs the ball. We have to. I mean, hopefully the game plan is to just double Diggs and make everybody else beat us. But it's going to be in Arrowhead, which is we play our best ball there. And regardless if we win by 1 point or 20 points, I think the Chiefs are licking their chops, ready for this game. This is going to be a really, really great game. Both games this weekend are going to be great.
Do you lean more towards in the other game, the Packers or the Buccaneers at Lambeau Field?
You know what? I'm kind of brainwashed because Brady beat me so much in the AFC. And, it's hard to go against him. I think he'll get it done and be back in the Super Bowl.
Is it bizarre for you, because Brady being an AFC guy, Patriot legend, NFL legend, is it weird still for you? It's still an adjustment period seeing him in that Buccaneers uniform?
It is. It just kind of reminds you that players are very important, and for him to leave an organization like the Patriots and go to the other side, to NFC, and now they're in. It's not a coincidence that they're in the, you know, in contention to be in the Super Bowl. It's just so. My hats off to the older guy. He's getting it done, still getting it done.
On the way out with Derek Johnson, I got two more for you. When we get to the Raiders, you spent a year there. That's the first year when Gruden came back. Are you a believer that Gruden's going to get this thing turned around? Because the last two seasons, they got off to good starts, but then they just had disastrous finishes.
Yeah, you know, Gruden, his philosophy is very old school. He likes to run the ball. He's very offensive minded. I think he's going to have that breakout season at some point soon. But you know, you just got to get a couple more guys in there. I mean, they're still firing coaches here and there, and you know, cutting players here and there. But at some point, I think Gruden will get it done. When, I don't know. I mean, they're in the same conference as Pat Mahomes, who's just signed a deal for, you know, he'll be there for the next 10 years. So I don't know how that's going to pan out for him. But I tell you what, I think I always give Gruden a lot of credit because, you know, he likes veteran guys. He's an old school type of coach. He brought me in my 14th year. So I'm rooting for him. Obviously not against the Chiefs, but hopefully he does well.
And then last one for you. I'll bring it back to your roots, Texas. Do you approve of the Steve Sarkisian hire?
Absolutely. Anybody that comes from Alabama stock, that's in good company. I mean, we need a little bit of that flair and to get Texas back on the map. And we're close. We're almost there, but we need a little help. And I think Coach Sark is gonna be that guy. I hope so. I get a chance to meet him. I met him already on Zoom, but I think next week or something, I'm gonna go up there and talk to him.
Well, enjoy it. Enjoy the games this weekend. You and the family stay well. We'll talk to you on the road, Derek. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much.
There's Derek Johnson joining us right there. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll come on back, and we're going to talk about coaching. The best coach left in the playoffs is Andy Reid. Who's the next best coach? Who's number two out of these four teams?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Figure out the auto parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices. An excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Tyler Medikevich from the Buffalo Bills is going to join us at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. Gus Frerotte still to come as well at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. We'll give you the official picks on the spread from the Gus Bus and also yours truly as well. Let me delve into here the coaches remaining in the playoffs. Andy Reid is the best coach remaining in the playoffs. Head coaching, best coach. You look at the years and years and years of excellence in Philadelphia, the five conference championship games. Yes, at that point, I would not say that his greatness was realized in Philadelphia because, you know, I'm sure there's people that called him great and you saw all the times he was in the postseason. When Andy was in Philadelphia, something I said, though, was he was very good because he got there consistently, but he kept on coming up short. And he pulled through and punched through one year and they lost in the Super Bowl. But there were a lot of blunders in Philadelphia, but overall, he had an abundance of success in Philadelphia. Now, it's not what you equate to the ultimate success of winning a championship, but there was a lot of success there. And then he goes to Kansas City. And when he was in Kansas City, there are two playoff games that really, and even three, I'd say three playoff games that stand out in your mind. How that team collapsed up against Indianapolis. How that team was going up against Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. They lost that game. And if you remember in that game, Travis Kelce got knocked out of the game. They had the league-leading rusher in Kareem Hunt, and they barely utilized him. So in Kansas City, was Andy Reid doing things that were special? Of course he was. He was doing things that were special in Philadelphia as well. We started to see the same script, though, over and over and over and over again. Dominate the regular season, and then wherever it occurred in the postseason, there was a blunder. And you also had that AFC Championship game where it didn't go his way. And I remember leading up to that year, not leading up, but during that year, when Mahomes was breaking out and was blossoming onto the scene and was just an absolute stud and having one of the more impressive seasons you'll ever see from a quarterback throwing 50 touchdowns in his first year, there was a storyline that was developing. Can Andy Reid get out of his own way with someone that is an MVP quarterback right now? Or is it going to be the same thing that happened with Alex Smith? And Smith was an MVP quarterback. Same thing that happened with Donovan. And Donovan wasn't an MVP quarterback, but Donovan was a very good quarterback in this league. And in that first year, they get to the title game with Mahomes, and they lost. Now, do I put that game on Andy Reid? No, I don't. But they lost that game. Then the following year, last year, you know what happened? When they're down 24 points, what are you thinking? When they're down 24 points, they had the number one seed coming off a bye, or number two seed coming off a bye, and they're down 24 points to the Houston Texans. It's another Andy Reid special. It's another Andy Reid postseason special, and you know the negative connotation with that. That's not a positive thing. Usually when you hear postseason special, it's like, oh yeah, wonderful moment. When they're down 24 points, you're saying, oh, here we go again. And I tell you this, as crazy as this sounds, if they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, if they lost that game to the Texans, even with the success that Reid's had in Kansas City, where his first year they were 11-5, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6, 12-4, 12-4, and now they were 14-2 this year. If they didn't win it all last year, there were going to be a lot of people that were going to be questioning if Andy Reid's the right man for the job. And think about that. This guy in his career regular season, 221, 130, and 1. Has coached in 30 playoff games. And even Derek Johnson, who just joined us a few moments ago, he said, I don't know what Philadelphia was doing, getting rid of him. Now, it was time in Philadelphia. It seemed as if the time it was ready to move on and try something else. You look back, though, in Philadelphia, 8-8, that was the dream team, and then 4-12. Now, if they gave him another year, and Chip Kelly did take over, they were 10 wins the first year, hey, maybe Andy Reid's still the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe Andy Reid, not Doug Peterson's the one that delivers the Philadelphia Eagles a Super Bowl championship. What we've seen, though, Andy Reid in Philadelphia, those 14 years, he was 130-93-1 and went to 5 conference championship games. So that's damn good. I think most teams, Trace, if I ask you right now, your Colts, let's say whatever quarterback of the future, Jacob Eason, probably not. Let's say they find a way to get Mac Jones, just for argument's sake in the draft. They get Mac Jones. And let's say Mac Jones turns into a good starter in this league. If I tell you right now, you're not going to win a Super Bowl, but you're going to get to, I'm not going to tell you if you win a Super Bowl or not, but you're going to get to 5 conference championships in 14 years with Andy Reid as your head coach, and let's just say Mac Jones is your quarterback, you would sign up for that. You sign up for that in a second. Now, if I tell you you're not going to win a Super Bowl, you may go, oh, wait a second, Chief, I don't know about that one. So Reid, for so many years, was a great offensive mind. And I'll even correct myself. I used to call him very, 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 very good. Now, he was a great coach. It just shows you how tough it is to win in this league. And even in Kansas City, he had some roadblocks. And in Kansas City, there were some hiccups in the playoffs. More so the game against the Colts and the game up against Tennessee. And now he's on the verge, coming up on Sunday, of playing in his third straight home conference championship game. And not only that, he's on the verge of going to his second straight Super Bowl. Andy Reid turned into the coach, can this guy win the big game? To how many big games is he going to win? Look back at last weekend. People are genuflecting as they should off the play call. Go back 3-4 years ago, in a big spot, no one trusted Andy Reid. And now everyone trusts Andy Reid. But if you go back to last year, if they lose, and if they got blown out by the Texans, at one point they were down 24-0, they don't make that comeback, I don't think the Chiefs move on, but there would have been conversation about it. People would have said it's going to be the same thing in Philadelphia. Don't waste Mahomes, and they're going to come up short. And now Andy Reid, what? You're kind of expecting the coach, what, 6-7 more years? And I guarantee you this, he'll add another Super Bowl ring on his finger. May add even more than one more, depending on what kind of run this Chiefs team does embark on and start to go on. I don't expect the Chiefs to slow down anytime soon. And for Andy, so many years of coming up short in disappointment, you're not going to walk away from this, especially something that you love. So, yes, Reid is the best coach left in the playoffs. Reid is a Hall of Fame coach. He's in 8 years of the regular season in Kansas City. He's 91-37. In his career, 221-130-1, and has a Super Bowl ring. He's been to 30 playoff games. He's 16-14, was 10-9 in Philly, 6-5 in Kansas City. So you go to him being the best coach left in the playoffs. Who's the second? LaFleur's second year in. He's lost a total of 6 games, Matt LaFleur. But when you think of the Packers, I'm not taking anything away from LaFleur, because that system has got to the stats that we've seen here in year number two that Rodgers has put up. But when you think of the Packers, you think of Rodgers first with the success. I don't think, even though Arians has won coach of the year twice, I don't think Arians is second best coach left. And Arians, he deserves credit, but for the most part, Brady's going to get that credit this year. And that roster, you have an all-star type of roster with some of the names. I really do believe, I'm not saying it's a bad roster, because I don't believe that whatsoever. I think it's a good roster. How much elite talent do you have, though, on that Bills roster? Probably, what, Tre'Davious White, Josh Allen, and Stephon Diggs? And going into this year, no one would have said Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs were elite players. So for me, McDermott, in that situation, to be in the playoffs 3 times and to take that next step this year, personally, I think Sean McDermott is the second best coach in the left in the playoffs and the second most impressive coach left in the playoffs. So it's Reid 1, and then I put McDermott 2. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, Onsides Offsides. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.